Hi, this is Michael Dorn, Lieutenant Commander Worf from Next Generation and Deep Space Nine, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
It's time for another serving of Earl Grey, our dedicated TNG show. I'm Darren Moser, sitting in the center chair this week. I'm joined by my two co-hosts at the Auxiliary Communication Station, Daniel and Philip. Today we are going to have our first AMA, or Ask Me Anything, you know, because we'd never talk to our fans ever in any fashion. I mean, be it Twitter or was that the Babel Silent Conference? No, I'm just kidding. We talk to them all the time. But we wanted to poll our listeners and have them ask us questions and hear our answers. Just be sure to not answer incorrectly and avoid that penalty box. There is only one.
Now, was a lot of the questions that they submitted just simply like, why? And just like them looking like
shrug emoji.
Well, you know, actually, we do have some that were duplicates. I'm surprised, but we actually got quite an array of new questions each time. So I want to thank our submitters off the bat for this round, and we'll see where this takes us. I don't know. I mean, there's a reason that Picard never did an AMA. I'm just saying. But, you know, hopefully, I think this will be a good
I think he
time.
Had one with the children once, and that was his first and last one.
So we have a couple of questions from Ron S., and he asks, when does the restraining order expire and you guys finally meet in person? Well, Daniel, when are we going to be meeting in person?
I like how it's Daniel's fault.
Sorry. Yes, the restraining order that I have on me is finally lifted. No, of course, this is a huge event. It's not just your Earl Grey hosts. It's all across the network. We're having a giant, massive meetup of awesome Star Trek fans and celebration of the 50th anniversary. And of course, I'm speaking of Star Trek Las Vegas 50 for the 50th anniversary, right? So we're all going to be in Vegas. This is going to be our first time meeting each other, the three of us. None of us have met up to this point. And then it's also, of course, going to be not just us, but many hosts across all of the shows here on Trek FM.
Now, Daniel, you're the expert. So when each of us have the piece of the Triforce and we come closer together.
Well, depending on which piece you have, it might or might not end up well for you. But
dibs on Triforce of Wisdom.
That's okay. I take power. I'll take. Oh, I guess that. Whatever. It's fine.
You knew exactly what button to push.
Well, now, you know, because it's interesting because Darren and Aaron, who are co-hosts that rhyme, have met together many, many times, of course, because, you know, hashtag that's so LA. Now, Daniel and I have not because we're sort of separated by a state or two or not real state. You know, we won't talk about it. But I don't know. We're still working logistics. I mean, Daniel and I may be doing a mid-year meetup. So we'll if things start sort of solidify, we'll certainly spread the word to people out there in Babel Conference who want an East Coast Trek.fm meetup.
And I'm sure it'll be just as big as Star Trek Las Vegas. So,
well, it's like a pre-Vegas. It would be like a mid-Atlantic Vegas.
Journey to Vegas.
That's right, because it's not the destination of Vegas.
But yes, no, Star Trek Las Vegas is going to be a lot of fun, and we will definitely have a lot of information coming to you guys in the upcoming months as we plan a lot of fun things that we're going to do as part of Trek FM for Star Trek Las Vegas. I can't say exactly what yet because it's still in motion, but needless to say, if you are a listener or a new listener or an old listener, you're going to have a lot of fun meeting us as much as we are going to enjoy meeting each other
now,
for the first time.
And if you're there, you get to meet us too. So, I mean, like, that's what's amazing. Like, it's not just us meeting each other, but it's everybody, the entire community, the entire group coming together. I think that's what's going to be, you know, like, listen, I get to see you guys every week. And it's great. And it's
every so old single Go Ram week.
It'll be cool, I guess, to see you guys. But no, but seriously, it'll be fun to see the listeners and all of these people that have been with us along the entire journey to the journey there as well. That's just as much to me, just as exciting as meeting all of the people we've met on mic.
And then I think Daniel will have a green Sharpie, and he will sign a one-up mushroom on you if you want to.
If you want, yeah, sure.
Well, I will say this. When Charlene from To the Journey...
To the Journey!
...moved out here to Southern California, and we met up for the first time, it was a little strange because you're hearing this voice that you associate with a person that you've heard many, many times. And it's, we were like walking around a mall and all of a sudden I'm like, this voice that I'm so used to is coming out of this person next to me. It's really surreal for the first like 20 minutes. So I'm expecting something similar when Daniel and Philip and I meet, but we will see.
And then of course we will be doing a live Earl Grey. It may or may not be open to the public, but, will the magic still be there if we do it in person? I don't know. You'll have to wait and see.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. I mean, I think there'll be a lot of ums, and I mean, it'll be unedited at that point, so that'll be very interesting, because we heavily edit all of our mistakes.
Right, because Daniel keeps dropping F-bombs. Come on, Daniel. Get it together.
Right there.
I would say more Q-bombs than anything, but...
So, okay, on a serious note... As Ron also asked, he said, are you guys going to do any more Trek board games? The episode of the VCR Klingon game was gold. That would be episode Experience Beige.
You mean worthless, worthless gold?
Worthless gold. Okay, that's true. I mean, we would have preferred Latinum, but we'll take worthless gold.
So, I don't know. I mean, if there were other TNG board games, I would be totally up to it. I don't know about you. I mean, I don't even know, would the listeners be interested in a Experience Beige round 2.0? I mean, it would be the same thing. I don't know if that's exciting or not.
Well, you know, there is Star Trek Monopoly, and I think our fans would love nothing less than hearing us play Star Trek Monopoly.
Well, we're pretty good with games of different sorts, so maybe we can find a way to modify it or combine it with Scene It or make it a drinking game of some sort. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, and we have to lift the veil. Folks or listeners may or may not know, of course, that we do or have done role-playing off mic, not just EG 100. Shuttles are just small starships. or starships are just small shuttles. Before that, we actually did Star Trek Scene It in our off the mic hours, the three of us. And so, you know, we've certainly played. I don't know if Scene It would work. It's much more of a visual game. But we can definitely think about things that are out there. So if you have any suggestions for Star Trek board games that you think would be out there, I don't know, let us know.
I mean, we could play a Final Unity and hold the shift key down. That would be fun.
Would it, Darren? Would it?
Oh, boy.
You know, well, moving right
shift
along.
Shift to the next question.
Tor B asks, what other nerdy podcasts do you listen to? We don't listen to any podcasts. If you produce podcasts, you have no time to listen to podcasts.
I'm about to follow my podcast. See, now, nerdy is, like, you know, is that an eye of the beholder definition?
I think they don't care if you're listening to NPR, Philip, or the Jefferson Memorial Fund.
I would never listen to anything that had the word Jefferson in it. Everyone knows I'm a strict Hamiltonian.
Okay.
Don't besmirch my lips with that man.
So definitely no.
Hamilton,
so no for Philip.
The Jefferson.
Philip definitely doesn't listen to nerdy podcasts.
I mean, like, I can tell you, I'll just say it real fast, all my podcasts, and I listen to a lot. Of course, they're not always like every week, like some I could name. But like, you know, other than any Trek FM podcast, of course, like nerd, and again, what does nerd mean? I'll just say, West Wing Weekly. It's all about, it's the rewatch of the West Wing.
Why are you putting so much emphasis on the H?
let's see. There's a a podcast literally called Presidential by the Washington Post that literally does every president. Vox is the Weeds, which is a different kind of nerdydom, policy nerddom. I have a lot of political ones. I do a political junkie. I do Domecast, which is a North Carolina one. I do Amicus, which is a Slate one from the legal standpoint. So I listen to a lot of legal and Supreme Court stuff. We the People, which is a constitutional one. Criminal, which is a one that's based out of North Carolina. Trying to think just nerdy stuff because some of the stuff isn't technically nerdy. Like I said, a lot of political stuff and a lot of story stuff. That's about it. I don't know any other podcast nerdy that I listen to anymore.
What about you, Daniel? Are you a podcast listener or just a podcast creator?
Oh no, I'm in podcasts all the way. And just looking through my list here, about 50% are Star Trek related. Surprisingly, or maybe unsurprisingly, I don't know. The rest are comprised of general geekery, I would say. I listen to some general tech shows, stuff like This Week in Tech. I listen to more specific tech shows like Android-based podcasts. I listen to a lot of gaming podcasts as well. I'm very big into video gaming, specifically Xbox gaming. So I listen to some shows related to that as well. And I think that's it as far as nerdy podcasts go.
So, Daniel, if you could make a Mass Effect podcast, what would you call it?
Wow, that's a loaded question. adjusted to 1.5 times speed or somewhere around there, because you can listen to the same amount of podcast in 75% of the time. And this helps so much. This was about 6 months ago that I discovered this, and it changed my podcasting habits dramatically. It helps so much keep up to date and kind of allow me to listen to what I wanted to listen to. So you've got an hour podcast. It's only going to be
45 minutes.
Yeah, 45 minutes. So it's amazing. It really does. And it's almost indistinguishable, once you get used to it. Definitely. So anyways, just wanted to throw that out.
Is this just a blue shirt data thing, or can everyone do this, Daniel?
I can. Well, as a blue shirt, I can listen to 7 podcasts at once, so I didn't.
Is this like when I walk in and like data's listening to like
exactly.
6 different
Well, and I have Overcast, and it does have that option, but it also has, I think, like a space cutter option where basically it detects it buffers a little bit and it detects the pauses, like if they have a long pause as they're thinking, and it takes that out as well, so it even speeds it up even more.
So like when we're trying to think of episode titles, I could just cut that.
Exactly, you know, pretty much the whole previously on Trek FM, it just I don't know why.
Podcasts that I would be interested in either like creating or listening to is a lot of 90s sci-fi. Like, I would love if there was a good Babylon 5 podcast, or even a good Quantum Leap podcast, because those were both Quantum Leap was when I was little, but Babylon 5 was a little more of a teenager. But those were both two big sci-fi shows I would love. Like The West Wing Weekly, I know, which is not sci-fi, but like that has started, and I think that maybe has either helped people rediscover some podcasts that are already there, or maybe inspired some people to be like, yeah, let's pull out some 90s and stuff and start rewatching and making podcasts about it. So it'll be interesting.
All right, let's move on to our next question from Davis G. He wrote, what is your favorite TV show outside of Star Trek?
Now, we have to parse the question. Is it currently running or like ever?
However you want to answer, Philip, it's your answer to give. Well, it could be wrong, but only to yourself.
Okay. Well, like it currently running, like, you know, and I think it'll be interesting, like what's everyone's TV habits. Like, I don't have.
Why don't we do currently running and past?
Okay, so currently running. Like, I don't have cable, and it's not like because good. No, it's just because I made the choice, made the budget.
Nobody has cable anymore, Philip.
So I have Netflix, which I know theoretically that does count as current TV, because they have new shows. But like, just stuff that's regular network or whatever. There's one show that I am, and it's just you guys just happened to catch me. I know viewers can't see me. About the two things I'm wearing right now, and that is Survivor. I am a diehard Survivor person. I've watched it since season 1, year 2000. I remember it, and I don't know if I've seen every season, because sometimes I've not been in country for several months at a time. But I've probably seen half the season. I just love the competition of it. And I know the sort of like the reality show saturation happened like after that, and maybe it's sort of waning now, but like just the competition, as someone who does like a very interesting in government and politics and organizations, I mean, there is sort of that human element, which I know some of it is obviously that reality show kind of reality, quote unquote, but I do love everything about it. The voting at the end of every episode, sometimes you know it's going to happen, sometimes you don't, the blind sides, the unpredictability, the hidden immunity idols, the changing rules sometimes every season. So, someone did pull me into Big Brother, so I have, which is sort of what I call off-season Survivor. I actually did get involved in the United States version of Big Brother, and so I've actually liked that too. But I'm a diehard Survivor person. In fact, I think I may be doing a Jeff Probst cosplay at the next con that I go to. I just love it. I'll let everyone else answer current.
Well, I would say currently, my wife and I, we actually watch a lot of YouTube shows because they're posting very often. So a lot of playthroughs, or not playthroughs, but we watch a lot of Yogscast, which started out as kind of a Minecraft playthrough show, but they do a lot of GTA and other things. And it's just, again, it's like visual podcasting. It's just a bunch of guys hanging out and playing games together and talking, and you're watching it more for their reactions as people. I was going to say characters, but they're real people. And that's really enjoyable. And I'd say for past TV shows, I recently did a whole watch through on Netflix of MASH. and it's just one of my favorite shows. It's so good and so enjoyable. And it's fast because it's only a half hour show, so you can get through three in an hour, and it's a lot of fun. So I highly recommend that one to listen for that dark comedy it gives you.
Okay, so for current shows, I don't watch a lot, but I would have to give my hat to The Flash, probably my favorite
Flash. Dun 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 dun. Not Savior of the Universe.
Not that one, guys. Not that one.
What? Oh. I'm a little disappointed now because I was getting my queen on.
And past TV shows, favorite shows, which I think is a more interesting question. I can't decide between four separate shows, so I'm just going to say all of them.
At the same time.
Combine them into one super show.
No. Ready? And I'm probably not even going to remember them all at this point now because I'm setting this up and now I'm getting nervous. Battlestar Galactica, the reboot, of course. The Office, a show that I watch yearly, probably. Boy Meets World, which is another show I watch yearly. This is steeped in 90s nostalgia, which if you have 90s nostalgia, you've got me 95% of the way.
That's a 90s joke.
I get that reference. The West Wing is actually would also be on my list as well. So, yeah, those are my favorite shows ever.
Yeah, see, for the past, I mean, I would have to do a list because I don't know if I could think of, like, after Star Trek, what's my go-to show? Because I don't know if I necessarily have one. But, like, West Wing, like I already said, Babylon 5, like I already said, Quantum Leap, like I already said. But then there's also, cartoons are still a big thing. So Animaniacs, Powerpuff Girls, I'm a big Powerpuff Girls person. Bubbles, obviously number one.
Bubbles is the, because she's a blue shirt. Sorry, I just said
she is a joy and a wonder. And so, yeah, that would be it. I mean, there's other cartoons I could, because 90s for me, I mean, I can remember being that kid after school. There was like a little, this was like before two TVs was common. So I had like the little, like sort of like travel TV in like near the kitchen that I would watch, like Tailspin. Rescue Rangers, DuckTales.
It's the Disney afternoon.
Darkwing
right
Duck.
There.
And so that was like stuff. So that I'm a very, I would say probably
you,
a
you know, you
cartoon.
Should listen to our, you know, animated Super Crew episode.
I've never necessarily watched all of TAS, so I'm actually enjoying Saturday Morning Trek because I am watching along with you all. It's not a rewatch, it's a watch listening to you all. So I always watch the episode and then listen to you all.
We're slowly milking it for all we got because we only got 22 episodes. And once they're gone, they're gone. All right, so here's a question which we could actually dedicate a whole episode to. How did the three of you start podcasting together, and had any of you podcasted before? Well, obviously, you can just listen to Earl Grey 0001.
If you can get past the Mars defense perimeter.
Yes. Well, I mean, who can't get beyond
if you have, like,
the
a
Mars
sneeze, maybe.
A little Amzadi relationship, and you can hear how we all started the Earl Grey, but there's another episode that predates
issue
that.
Zero.
Issue the prequels zero. Of Earl Grey.
And that would be on the Ready Room, and was it Bird of Prey Selfies? I think it was 111.
It is 111. Right around. Exactly right.
Whoosh. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I remember that 140 episodes
but
later.
But you can't remember our anniversary.
But yeah, so they can listen to that. I mean, we go a lot into, you know, why we're doing the show in the beginning
for the pay, right?
But exactly, for the perks. But what, anything to add to that?
Well,
you guys,
I mean,
beyond
you have
what
the most
experience to?
Darren, why don't you tell about your prior experience?
Well, I did some podcasting before. I had my own show called the Dr. Sci-Fi Show that I did for about two seasons. And that was a lot of fun, just talking about different topics and changed it up a little bit, and sometimes had my wife on, sometimes had my best friend on. And, you know, you just got kind of podcasting in my blood. And I did a series on Star Trek podcasts, and actually had Chris Jones on to talk about the Ready Room and his network.
Who's that?
And You know, it's this show call that comes out, talks about all sorts of Star Trek, and he's our boss. Dan.
Oh, sure. He's our boss.
And yeah, that led to, I guess, me getting on his radar, and they were getting geared up to launch. And I'm really glad.
Is that a MASH
that
joke?
They let me. But I'm really glad that they let me join this show, because I'd wanted to start a Star Trek The Next Generation podcast, but I just knew I couldn't do it well enough just myself talking. Like, there's too much to discuss, and you need the right kind of co-host. But but then after we got stuck together, I guess it all worked out. So we, no, it was a lot of
fun. The long and short of it, really, I mean, is that our illustrious leader played matchmaker, right? I mean, none of us knew each other in the beginning.
No.
And what's actually really amazing is if you go back to Ready Room 111, that is us meeting each other. That is like literally the first time the three of us had a conversation with each other.
I think we had like texted a little bit on Basecamp or something like that. But yeah, from my understanding, it was like, you know, Daniel and Philip were already cast, and they're like, maybe we need one more. Like, let's delay for another month as we get this ready.
So it's
It was similar to me where, I don't know, like you said, I feel like I've told this story, but just very quickly for those who haven't heard it. So like, I found Trek FM, and I had never found a Star Trek community online, which I know sounds incredibly dumb and naive since that's the only reason the internet was created. But you know, I that was the first time I'd really found like, hey, Trek FM, people are talking about Trek. I would love to talk about Trek. And so I started listening to, the Ready Room and To the Journey and some of the other shows that were on. And then through the website, there was a little button that said, join the crew. And I'm like, I'll click on that, see what this is all about. And so eventually I got hooked up with Charlene, from To the Journey about writing articles for Trek FM. And then that eventually turned into doing a guest spot or two on, I think it was Literary Treks. I can't remember my first one. I think maybe it was Literary Treks, then doing the Ready Room. And then maybe one other. And then I think I eventually was brazen enough to ask Chris Jones, like, y'all don't have a Next Generation podcast? Because that's obviously the best show. I don't know why you don't have a Next Generation podcast. And so I think sort of through my, not haranguing, but I would just maybe bring it up every month and have like, so I still notice that there's no TNG podcast. And so I think eventually that turned into, hey, Philip, would you like to do a TNG podcast? And I'm like, oh, I don't know what made you think of me.
Yeah, so, you know, just speaking to my personal experience and something that kind of relates to Earl Grey on the whole here. My first experience with Trek FM was a little earlier than I think yours, Philip, and possibly maybe Darren's. I was on the Ready Room 99, which we talked about yesterday's Enterprise. And if anybody's not aware and they're listening to this show, this is where the origin of Livingston, Livingston's a real character, of Commander Flipper came from. And so you should listen to it because it was great fun. And it wasn't long after that that Chris was like, hey, I'm looking into getting the show together. And, you know, obviously we were all right in the right place at the right time. And he kind of matched us all together for that Ready Room episode. I guess the rest, they say, is history.
It's history. Yeah. Okay. Now, what kind of non-Trek hobbies do you all enjoy? I mean, besides talking about Jefferson, I mean, what a...
I never
like
talk
that?
About Jefferson, Darren!
Sorry, Jackson.
No, that's not... You're not getting any better. You're not getting any better. The order is, Hamilton. If you want to throw for a loop, Nixon. Yeah, I'll do some Nixon. FDR, I will actually go some James Coe Polk. I think there's some interesting stuff there. And then we'll go through down to the rest of the list there. But, hobbies. I do, cause it's all about me. This past 2 years, especially, I've definitely gotten more re-engaged in sort of my performance stuff. Cause I've done acting, I don't know, since I was a teenager. But I started to do a little more acting and stage work here where I live. And then actually I started to do a little more playwriting, which I'd never done before. So I've done a lot more playwriting in the past year and a half. And so I've gotten a lot of, short plays, performed and produced. And I mean, small stuff, but here where I live in the Triad area here in North Carolina. So that's been pretty cool. And so just been doing a lot more writing in that way. And then, I think those are pretty much the biggest things I have going on in between podcasting, work, and everything else. And I'm sure I'll think of some other life I have beyond that. But
what about you, Daniel? What when you're not? Is it? I mean, is it video games related? I'm just guessing.
May be.
I don't know why.
I'm
Star picking Trek up a vibe. Is not the only thing Daniel's been talking about this week.
It may be. I do play a lot of games, and I love gaming. That's probably my biggest, for sure. My biggest hobby. Like I said before, it's specifically. This is very niche. I'm an achievement hunter. I spend my time gaining points, fake points, on the internet. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm just.
Welcome to Whose Line Is It? Points
exactly.
Don't matter.
Other than that, actually, one of this kind of ties this question and the last question together. I moved from my childhood home of New York down here to the capital region, basically right when we started the podcast. So another thing that I've been doing since then and currently is just kind of exploring the history and the wonderment of this area, I suppose you would say. So I'm always exploring and doing fun things.
Now, I hear there's a good party over at the Vulcan Ambassador's place, if you ever go over there, Daniel.
Do you know, as far as the last I knew, the actual Enterprise is literally right down the street from me. So, you know, that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool thing to say.
Well, as people who listen probably know, one of my big hobbies that takes up a lot of weekends, but it's all for fun, is walking around dressed in plastic as a stormtrooper from Star Wars as part of
What's
the 501st
Star Wars?
Legion. You know, it's this other star thing,
good.
As you might have heard
I'm
of
really
it.
Interested because I don't understand it at all.
I mean, they only have 7 movies, but I guess they've made a little bit of money.
But, feel like so until Star Wars is on TV, we're really not going to get back to the heart of what it means.
It is on TV. It's Star Wars Rebels right now and the Clone Wars. So that's a lot of fun. I've been doing that for almost 2 years. I started that 4th of July in 2014. And coming up, I think next week will be my, 40th troop. So it's been a lot of fun. And yeah, just other things, just building things. I like, you know, doing something with my hands every once in a while, be it stormtrooper armor. I'm just about done with a Star Wars gonk droid that will come to some of our events and charge our phones as good gonk droids do. And yeah, just doing creative stuff like that. I used to do a lot of video production and video editing, but and board games. I really like board games and playing games, and you know, I mean, we don't really play any games here on Earl Grey, but so I wish we could do more, but we do. The game is in your mind. So, but yeah, those are some of the things that I enjoy.
Gonk.
Okay, guys, gonk. Here is the most important question by Ju K. What is up with Flipper? Why is there no more info on Commander Flipper? Is she missing in action? What is going on?
Well, I think I really enjoy the character development that Lieutenant Commander Flipper has had over the past 2.5 to 3 years here on Earl Grey. Because much like Spot, changed genders, which I think was nobody saw that coming. You know, because it was always he. But as we know from Earl Grey 100, Commander Flipper is, in fact, a
maybe
she.
We just translated the pronoun wrong from the dolphin
language.
Well,
I can see that. You hear
a knee,
but it's really a knee, and it's very subtle. It's very subtle.
It's very subtle.
Of course, I've heard
very
rumors.
Subtle.
Now, Daniel, I know you hang out the most in Citation Ops. I've heard rumors on the last TIR and the Ready Room that he's been promoted, that there's a Commander Flipper now. Is that true, or is that just some gossip going on in the lower decks?
No. This is where it gets complicated, okay? Right. Because of the propensity for people in Star Trek to call Lieutenant Commanders Commander, there kind of can be some confusion sometimes. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, Commander Flipper has actually not been pushed off the plank yet. Although, you know, for the commander,
I just feel like it would go really well with her, excuse me.
I'm just saying. We just call them Commander Flipper because that's just what you say. But no, they don't have their fancy hat yet.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, when I was putting together Earl Grey 100, and I'm like, you know what? And I'm making a list. I want to do some, like, Earl Grey inside jokes references for Daniel and Darren here. And I'm like, well, Commander Flipper, got to have that. But then when and I don't know why I cast Charlene as Commander Flipper, just for whatever reason worked out. And I cannot imagine, not only based on Charlene, Tristan, and Drew Stewart creating the visual image of that dolphin inside the gerbil ball, I think has been...
No, those are only reserved for the dolphin crew. My favorite dry line from Tristan for all that.
I just love the life that our own Daniel Prue here has created. Little did he know in TRR 99 that would be living on.
Yeah, 3 or 4years later.
I forget. So did that originate from that ready room?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. Because in yesterday's Enterprise, they call out to Cetacean Ops. And right. So then it kind of turned into a joke about, this is a long time ago, but I specifically remember, like, how does Flipper hit its own comm badge? Because, you know, it can't really reach around all the way.
He swims up against the wall and smashes it up again.
But listen to that episode, because we had a lot of fun.
Okay, well, back to Star Trek questions. I mean, we are a Star Trek podcast. Andrea B. asks, what ship department would you want to work for on the Enterprise, or any ship for that matter? So, Daniel wants to be a red shirt, obviously.
And
command track all the way.
I think Darren is a good red shirt, too, I think. I think it was just one big red shirt family. This is, honestly, we were going to call this the Red Shirt Diaries. Turned out it was taken, so we went with Earl Grey.
Gosh. I mean, because you go for you always look for the URL first before you start a project, and that was taken, so obviously we couldn't.
Though, for listeners, Darren is wearing a blue shirt, unless it's black, and Daniel is wearing a red shirt. I'm in the Kirk Black cadet from Star Trek 2009.
Well, I would say... You can kind of answer this question from our listening to some of our role plays or listening to our ENG, TNG, RPG, you know, episode 100, because that when we got to create our characters, we got to be whatever we wanted. So I chose a gold shirt shuttle operator, you know, just kind of operations, and started as a little, almost died, didn't really get promoted too much after dying, but you know, it all worked out.
Yeah, and I chose a blue shirt, a member of, I was going to say Astrometrics, but I know that's not the right, you know, I was a blue shirt, basically kind of working in the same environment that Seven and Harry built, stellar cartography, you know, that we see in Generations and then that we see later in Voyager. So that's exactly kind of what I would do if, you know. If you're traveling among the stars, how awesome would it be to be the kind of navigator for that kind of a thing?
That mean Philip is Q because he pulls all the strings.
Right. Yeah. No, red shirt, 100%. Though when we did our, of course, I remember this because I did the episode when we did our sort of Starfleet careers, part one. I think when we did red shirts, you know, I have to think about like how would I start off because you just don't start off as captain. I mean, unless you're some third year cadet who saves the universe, then you then automatically captain apparently. But I digress. So I don't know how I would rise up to, you know, command, but I would definitely be, the guy at con, just, you know, interning up front, learning the ins and outs. Cause that's basically what the con officer is. He's a bridge intern, or she's a bridge intern, the red shirt up there. So, that's what I would be.
And so that was episode 118, Blue Shirts Win the House Cup, which was Starfleet Career Path Part 1. And
I love our episode
Career Path Part 2. Awesome. Daniel's Technicolor Dream.
Both those episode titles, I think, are both crew inspired.
Those are great. Those are so much fun.
I think that's going to be a future chapter of Bridgemates. You read the episode title, and we try to guess either the number or what the topic was.
Yeah, because honestly,
go deep.
A little bit of inside baseball here for you folks. We don't remember. I mean, we may remember kind of what's going on, but...
I remember all my children, Daniel. What are you talking about? All right. Well, moving on to our next question as we round around the latter half of this episode. Any chances we'll get an essential TNG series? They loved it on TTJ. That's from Martin K. Well, you know, it could be on the docket.
It could have already happened.
It could have already happened. No, it's, I mean, Temple Investigation is going to get mad at us if we answer this question.
If it has not already happened, there's a good chance it may have already happened, but not have happened yet.
I just think the Temporal Prime Directive is a founding principle of the Federation. So I just think moving on. Next question.
Yeah, this next question's, I think, directed to you, okay. Philip. Would you consider making every episode, I'm assuming, of Earl Grey, a TNG RPG?
Oh, that would be... No, well, of course not, because, of course, there's so many other things to talk about and to do, and we could play board games based on VCR games. I mean, you know, that's equally as important. Or talk about why the bleep... You don't press the bleep and shift key. We could talk about that. But no, I enjoy putting those stories together. Like I said, I've sort of... I'm not... Like, I played, I always found funny in my head. I did some RPGing in college. You know, it was experimental back then. We did a lot of crazy things back then. But that was the only time I ever, and I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I don't know anything about dice or math or whatever. And it's just like, okay. But I did play a few, like Marvel, DNC, or DC, excuse me, did a, oh lordy, I'm blanking. There's a vampire series that's very popular, all the different clans and everything. Always played the crazy one. What else did we do? I think I did a literal D&D once, and that was about it. And so I didn't touch anything since that, and so I think I forget how we stumbled upon talking about it between ourselves, and I was like, I'd like to be in charge of one. Like, if we ever do a Trek RPG, I'd like to be in charge of it, because I'm sort of like, I would feel like I'd be a bad player, I'd just be really, really specific and nerdy and stuff. And so that's how we started it. And I mean, I really enjoy doing it, and hopefully do it off mic some other ways. And I actually, believe it or not, bought D&D books. So that will be our next adventure for me. You know, I'm just gonna go straight into DMing, just skip past casual player. So I enjoy it. And really, it's not only...
It'll be the only DM who has never actually played as a player.
I can fake it well. So that's, of course, one of my writing background is what I enjoy doing. But I think any success that you have, and it sounds like you all enjoyed it, the listeners, it's because of the players. I mean, I just write the script and hold on for dear life as the characters do the story, and so I think it's great.
But we don't always do what you want us to do, Philip.
I mean, you'll do it eventually. But no.
Can I say something to, you know, without getting too heavy-handed here and too emotional, I will say... So our favorite episodes, not just our favorite episodes, but I even think our listeners' favorite episodes, have actually all been Philip episodes. And a lot of people may not realize this, but, and we don't really get to recognize it during the episodes, but Earl Grey 100, all of Bridgemates, anytime we're doing a fun game show or these silly things, this was all Philip inspired. All of his hard work and dedication goes into it. And, everybody should recognize that, because me and Darren have a blast, even if we lose every time, whatever. Even if we're on the opposite side, somehow we lose every time. But no. But just seriously, like, we have so much fun. But Philip puts so much work into these things. And I just want everybody to recognize that he is actually the one. He's the architect of all of, well, I would say 80% of Earl Grey's greatest hits.
I'm now picturing him in that room from The Matrix where he's got his little pen and he's like looking at all the TV screens.
Oh, you guys.
But just but, you know, recognition where it's due. And thanks, Philip, for all of that, because we love it just as much as our listeners do.
Well, I think this question's directed more at me. Where on the Enterprise are the analogy generators? Well, you know, if you look in the cross section, they're actually under every chair. So that's why they're evenly distributed.
What about for Worf,
the
Darren?
Enterprise.
Where's Worf's analogy generator?
You know, does Worf seem like an analogy kind of guy?
Two chairs? So. Two bridges?
Exactly. So yes, that now you know. You can that is Mike Akuda approved. You can look it up, and that's where we keep the analogy generators. All right, here's a good Trek one from Ian K. Which episode of any other Trek series do you wish was a TNG episode? So kind of like To the Journey's been doing there, taking other episodes from other shows and making them into... Well, I was going to say To the J. Making them into Voyager
episodes.
Can you
repeat the question this one more time? I don't really make sure.
Which episode from any of the other series, so of the 700-something episodes, not counting the 120-something next-gen episodes, pretty much any other episode do you wish had actually been a TNG episode, like with those characters and such?
That is a hard one. See, I think that's the reverse of what I've of a series I've started in Earl Grey. We've only done season one, but I plan to do it again. Is where you do the reverse of what the listener's asking, where we take a TNG episode and then say what would be it as a yeah
right. It's a reverse.
Yeah, but reverse. I don't because I
I would say if you need more time to think. Yeah, I would say I would like to see a TNG version of Trouble and Tribulations, but not necessarily going back to that episode, but the same premise where our Enterprise goes back in time to a TOS episode, be it maybe the Doomsday Machine or something, you know, really fantastical. And then we see, you know, we have more challenges as our crew, I mean, we're a little more conspicuous in the Giant Enterprise D than the Cloak Defiant. So, you know, but I would have loved that kind of an episode where they take those characters and put them using that technology to look like they were in the episode. I think that would have been a great TNG callback.
Yeah, the only, and this is a hard question. This might be a future episode one, maybe, because I really have to think about this one. The only two things that come to mind, and I'll probably think about this as soon as we stop recording, is one is that, and Darren, you kind of touched on this, but Voyager and Deep Space.
You can't take my answer.
I'm taking and modifying it and making it better. Both Voyager and Deep Space Nine, and even TOS, did travel back to around our time. And our time, I mean what you're now in watching the show episodes. TNG, the closest that we got to that may have involved a literary figure from American history.
Oh no,
but that's not even. I mean, but that's of course not recent because like what I'm thinking of, like TOS, which this is not really a great episode because it really throws canon off. Is the Gary Seven episode, and you're like, oh, okay. I mean, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but it's just off because it's just a backdoor pilot. But Deep Space Nine, of course, had the Bell Rights, which of course was in the future, but just the you know somewhat distant future. Voyager had went to the 90s. And picked up 29th century technology.
Oh man, that would have been.
Is it past tense? Is that
no,
what it's called?
No, yeah, it was
future tense. Yeah.
Well, no, it's not either of those actually. It's
future imperfect.
No, that's, oh, you people.
I thought it was past tense.
No, it's the word's futures in it. I know that much.
Futures end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why we don't have.
We lose again.
But I think it would have been nice to see TNG go to the 80s or the, you know, maybe the projected 90s or some period of maybe like the nuclear post-World War II, which I know was maybe you could say is first contact, maybe.
Where,
but it would have been interesting to see that.
Where soldiers are controlled with drugs.
Yeah. So that would have been, and maybe that's Star Trek First Contact in the movie, but at least in a TV series is the question. So that would have been interesting to see a more recent, like, hey, they're TNG characters acting in or in places like us. But maybe it was so close to Star Trek IV that's why they didn't do it. But anyway, that's my initial thought.
So not just an episode. You want all of Star Trek IV with the TNG crew.
I want Captain Picard with the Enterprise D at some park somewhere.
I'm walking here. I'm walking here.
Remember where I park?
No. You know,
I work. Of course, Enterprise D just falls over and the saucer kills half a block.
What, you mean Star Trek Into Darkness? I haven't forgotten you.
I was hoping you were going to forget me. I don't know. This is
no.
There's only two other people. I mean,
I don't know, Darren. I heard there was a fourth member.
Oh, we'll get to that question. That's coming up next.
This is tough. This is a really tough question. I haven't had enough time to think about it. I really like
hey, you. You can have a pass if you answer this next question.
All right, I'll answer the next question.
Why do you hate Times Arrow?
Okay, I'll answer this question
from
in
Brand
spades.
W.
Two words. Mark G.D. Twain.
Now make sure you're not alienating our audience with this answer, Daniel.
No, no. Listen.
Now, is that an alienistic joke, Darren?
Okay. I think that it's funny that this question was asked because we've
asked a couple times.
We've talked about this quite a bit. I feel like my reaction to this episode has kind of, maybe the listeners have thought it's rubbed off on you guys. I don't think you guys dislike this episode near as much as I dislike.
No,
this episode.
I give it a medium. I give it a regular episode.
Like, it's just the fact that I hate this episode that is kind of like colored and sullied the water here. No, I hate this these two episodes. Darren and Philip, they get a pass. They'll get to talk about what they think. I don't like this episode because of, you know, listen, maybe Mark Twain was this annoying. Maybe this guy was this obnoxious in real life. I don't know. I don't know that much about him in real life. But I cannot stand him on screen, not even for 1 second. I don't want him anywhere near anything that I consider Star Trek. And then the main thrust of the episodes is boring. So you have these two elements. You got Mark Twain, and then you got these boring time-traveling aliens. And then you have this mildly interesting premise of, oh, Data's head is in San Francisco, in the 19th century. That's pretty cool. But the rest of it falls apart, and I just don't like it. But do not mistake my hatred of this episode with my co-hosts. I will let them tell you, and fail to tell you, why this is a good episode.
Chad, to get that one more zinger in there, didn't
That's
you?
That's so
Daniel?
Twainian.
Stop it.
No. Well, again, I would just say overall, that's what one of the things I like about Earl Grey is that we have different opinions on different episodes and different likes and dislikes. And often, sometimes over 100 plus episodes, we can learn to like other episodes like Justice. But we'll keep working, and eventually we'll all evenly love every episode, and it'll be super bland and non-commentary.
Except Nemesis.
Okay. Stop it.
Yeah. All right. Next question from Jason C. Do you think the interior of the Enterprise D would smell different from the interior of the Enterprise E?
100%. 100% it would.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the carpet treatment alone is just, it's a different smell.
Well, and think of how big the space is around the warp core. I mean, that lets the air circulate and breathe a little more.
Okay, you're overcomplicating it, Darren. The Enterprise D smells like Febreze, and the Enterprise E smells like WD-40.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. I mean, is there even an arboretum on the Enterprise E? Where's that natural?
No, Keiko left.
No,
Keiko
left. They took it out to have the giant stellar cartography. Wait, actually, no, wait, that's the Enterprise D. But Jason says, thanks, and the four of you are my favorite podcast people. So,
Should we tell him?
Well, no, I think it's the accusation is that the three of us talk too much and don't let the fourth person talk. But look, you either jump in or you don't get mentioned on the podcast. That's the way podcasting works.
Maybe it's like the ship is the other character. So for us, it's the podcast itself is a self-aware.
Well, the actual cup of tea.
I mean, it's,
my God, Darren, what have I done?
Asked the computer to create a podcast that was enjoyable for all, and it became self-aware, but it couldn't leave.
Is there
going to
be one podcast episode where you don't hear us? It's just the podcast that's making another offspring of itself, and that's
bits of all of our 140 episodes.
Our episodes come alive and are represented by different characters, and we have to figure out
the next episode. Episode
New
is just
for Deform City.
Oh, that's too much. That's too much.
All right, guys. One more question. Let's see. If you could play one game, would it be Bridgemates or Experience Beige? Which is his short way of saying the Star Trek The Interactive VCR board game, A Klingon Challenge.
Sponsored by Not Garon.
Sponsored by Not Gowron, which we will be playing at Star Trek Las Vegas. I think that's kind of an obvious answer, but that's just me.
Well, I've only played one of those.
No, you know, I'll it's got to be Bridgemates. Bridgemates is a holy
Trek, it's a staple.
It is a Trek FM established thing.
Proud tradition.
It is a tradition. It is part of who we are. It is.
We will never win, but
but maybe we won't lose. Dot dot dot.
Yeah. No. I think that's the concept, and I know that we already did our humble brag episode, so we're not gonna go too much into this, but I think that is the power of Earl Grey. And it's not any one person, but like, who would have thought, hey, let's do an episode where we listen to us play a VCR board game. And like, really? I don't think that's, you know, if we had pitched that, I don't think we'd have gotten a lot of fan response, but
yeah, I remember when I pitched that to you guys and you were like, okay, Darren, if you could make that work, we will try.
That is the spirit of the power of three. When one person's in charge, your only response is, okay. But the Experience Beige, I think, has to be in the top 20 Trek FM quotes. Experience Beige is on the board.
As it should be. Performed flawlessly by the fantastic Robert O'Reilly, slash not Gowron.
I place you in a stasis field.
Seriously, if you... Oh, man, if you are a Star Trek fan...
You, the podcaster who is talking now.
Every Star Trek fan should play this game, I feel. Or at least watch it on YouTube. It's so, 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 so good. Yes.
Okay, here's the real last question, because this one's even better. What would happen if Q met Lore?
Clore? Dun, dun, dun.
Wait, are you saying this is part of your Danfic already?
What if Q met Lore?
Well, this like, is it's from interesting. Michelle H.
I mean, you have, in Deja Q, I'll explain later, Dan. You have Q and Data sort of forging a, you know, interesting friendship, quote unquote friendship relationship.
He makes him laugh. It's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think Q and Lore, and I think that would be interesting because in TNG especially, I don't know if you define what's y'all know, the grid of like chaotic, good, bad, neutral, good, bad. Like,
oh, I thought you were talking about the Q sphere that he throws up around
But like,
I know what you mean.
Where were you would
neutral
put,
good, chaotic good?
Yeah, where would you put Q on that? And so Lore, I think we kind of know is just sort of like he's sort of literally the evil twin. It's sort of a cartoon character, but not. I mean, I think he's interesting. I think Lore's interesting, but I think he's bad. There's no good, redemption in Lore necessarily. So I don't know whether that he would sort of play to the mischievous part of Q, maybe. But I don't know. It'd be interesting because I think Lore's more malevolent than Q. So I don't know if Q maybe would be more against him than with him. But it'd be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if Lore presents anything interesting to Q. That's the problem, right? I'm not sure. Like, Q only became friends with Data because of he didn't have any powers at that point. So, like, I feel like Q is 99% of the time only interested in Picard because he has such a Q crush on Picard.
I only have eyes.
So,
you.
I don't know, like, in what. I'm definitely not closed to the idea. I would totally be willing to watch the episode, but I don't know in what context that would be. What context would make that super compelling?
Okay, what is the the Legion of Evil of TNG or whatever the bad guy club would be called? Like, you know, you have like
so Tomalak.
Well, yeah. Well, you have Shinzon's Bizarro Superman, basically.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so, like, I would, you know, and he also would be Lex Luthor, but it's I can see that. But yeah, I can see what would be because would Q be the head of the pantheon of. Of mischief, villains of TNG, yeah, how they would all interact.
I think Q would just probably, if it was on a off day or whatever, you would just pick up Lore and just put him on a planet and be like, have fun. I want to see what happens.
I got it, guys. Okay, so this is the rewrite that we'll do one episode. So what's the terrible? Well, it's not. Well, okay, I'll say terrible and maybe not. But what's the terrible episode of the TOS where it's the mythical good guys versus, I mean, not that Lincoln's a myth. He was a real person. But what's the mythical good guys?
Savage Curtain.
Thank you. Savage Curtain, TNG.
Wait, you could pull but you don't know a Q episode from a Q episode?
You know every TOS episode title, Dan? You've been for us for 120 episodes?
I really don't. Trust me. I really don't.
That would be all the TNG good guys versus all the TNG bad guys. And there you go. Boom.
Star Trek TNG Civil War?
Perhaps? Choose Team Data or Team Lore.
Oh, man.
Well, well, that was good. We got through 16 questions. And there, I think we'll have to do another one of these after another stint of regular episodes to let the creativity come out again. But talking and answering your questions is not the only thing we've been talking about here on Earl Grey this week. Here's a look at what you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, the 602 Club.
You know, I think part of it has to do with, yeah, and that is a good point. You know, you could draw maybe more of a parallel between Roger Moore and Cary Grant than you could Cary Grant and Sean Connery.
Literary Treks.
One of my issues I had with this whole series is if, and as a graphic novel, is I was expecting one continuous story, and each chapter was an issue that was separate from each other.
Meta Treks.
Wait, your idea of Risa is like Fairhaven.
Yeah, I like the quiet, peaceful. I mean, every time I watch one of those,
I don't want to see those Fairhaven characters in bikinis. I'm sorry.
Women at Warp.
The only way that she can get through the trauma is remembering what her real story is, and that's getting this puppy home and taking care of it.
I wish that Captain Jeremy Nelson said, "Let's get this puppy home."
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
You can listen to every show on the network at Trek.fm with links for iTunes, streaming services, and a direct download link. This week of Earl Grey is brought to you by Audible.com. This is a great way for you to read all of the books you want to read but never have time for. Audible is always expanding with over 150,000 titles to choose from. There are classics, current bestsellers, and famous Star Trek books like Prime Directive and Federation. Audible has something for everyone. Now, as a Trek FM listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to try out Audible yourself. So give it a try today. Catch up on all those classic Star Trek books you've yet to read. To support Trek FM, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm. Thank you, Audible, for supporting Earl Grey and Trek FM. If you are a weekly listener and would like to directly help Earl Grey, please consider becoming a patron of Trek FM. At patreon.com/trekfm, you can choose a pledge level and receive rewards for becoming a Trek FM patron. You'll be inside the observation lounge of our network, able to participate in our monthly patron roundtable podcasts, and supporting the production of all of our great content. We would like to take this moment to thank our current patron associate producers, Stephen Boyd and Ron Sarna. Thank you for supporting Earl Grey. Connect with other Trek FM listeners on our Facebook discussion group called The Babel Conference, found through the Facebook search field, or like the facebook.com/trekfm page for show updates and announcements. The network is also on Twitter, at Trek FM.
So Daniel, if someone wanted to talk to you about every TOS episode ever and their titles, where would they find you?
They would find me at One Up Dan. That's the number one, not the word.
And Philip, if someone wanted to pitch a Bridgemate spinoff called 10 Forward Mates, where would they find you?
Okay, so we'd work on the title first as we did this pitch. But they can find me on Twitter at NC Public Servant. That's NC for no collaborating. Okay, guys, I own all that. It's mine.
Hey, Battle Bridge Mates, even better.
Battle Bridge Mates. We can work with that. We can work with
that.
That's
when you bring it into the fourth dimension and you actually punch each other.
Yeah, but the part is we'd have to separate those two shows. There'd have to be a clear separation.
If only there was something in Star Trek that worked with, like, separations. But, and if someone wanted to talk to me about how slowly I can count to 16, they can find me on Twitter under username Dr. Sci-Fi, that's DrSciFi, or talking with my friend Aaron Harvey about Star Trek the Animated Series on Saturday Morning Trek here on Trek FM. Well, as you know, we did a good job of patting ourselves on the back again to this episode, guys, and telling some people about some good episodes they can listen to. But hopefully you enjoyed this AMA, and again, we will probably have another one later on after another couple dozen episodes or so. But there's no end in sight as we're rounding out another chapter of Earl Grey. But until next time, live long and prosper.
Make it so.
Endgame.
Fire.